Welcome to another edition of the Dementia Care Partner Talk Show. Now, here's dementia care expert Tifa Snow and your host, Greg Phelps.
Hello, and welcome to the Dementia Care Partners podcast, brought to you by Positive Approach to Care. I'm your host, Greg Phelps, along with dementia care expert Tifa Snow. And Tifa, I'll be with you in a couple minutes. I got a couple feeders to do right after I get done with the diapers. The rest of my day is going to be dealing with the dementias. We recorded this on Zoom. People can't see you, but you're literally squirming in your chair. But that is language, unfortunately, that I still hear and I've seen, and it breaks my heart. I have no other words for it.
Yeah. I'm like, ouch. That to me, I had so hoped we were past that. And I think COVID just allowed people to go back to things that we were getting rid of. I mean, honestly, we were making progress. We were having connections where we could say, you're helping somebody eat. You know, feeders are cows that you, young cows, and they're feeders because all they do is eat to grow meat on them so we can eventually eat them, but they're feeders for right now. We don't even call children feeders. I mean, where do we get off labeling a human being as though this was a task to be completed? They'll get fed. And it's like, come on. When did we become wardens in jails or performers of stuff done to someone? It's like, I thought we broke those chains, but it's turning out they're returning with new vigor, along with things like the new drug to treat agitation that could kill you, but don't worry, we'll feel better because you're not agitated. I mean, those words that are hurtful, painful, meaning words for another condition and a situation. It's like I've got a bath in 107. It's like, oh, good for you. Are you going to 107 to take a bath? No, I'm going to be giving someone a bath. It's like, I'm going to be working with so-and-so to see whether or not they're willing and able to give me permission to support them as they bathe. You know, that, I mean, and this is not fancy language. This is a relationship.
So how do we break this cycle, Tifa? Because as you said, we seemed to be on the edge of sort of eliminating it. And then I think maybe during COVID with staff problems, getting people to work, literally some of the homes in Canada where their residents were almost abandoned, I can see people falling back on bad habits, and people who were in the business before left because it is stressful. Yep. So have we taken a giant step backwards? You didn't get out and do as much training as you could have. Like, where do we point our finger?
Well, I think it's a multifactorial. I think the place was isolated. And when we get isolated and there's a lot to do, I mean, and I would put that's the ring finger for me. I mean, so I'm looking at my five P's. So the place got isolated. I would say there was a lot of stuff to get done. And there were very few people to do it. And so what happened is, rather than see the people living in the community as people, we saw them simply as props in an activity. And so, wow, what is the possibility for switching that out? One of the things that we're going to be talking about is we're going to have to go back to coaching and saying, so you're helping some, when they say I've got two feeders, it's like, oh, so you have two people you're going to help. You're going to help them eat. So which person are you going to work with first? Because I'm wondering whether or not it makes sense to not bring the other person to the table right now until you're ready to help or that, because, oh, you were thinking of doing two at the same time. Huh. Oh, I have a question for you, Greg. If you help two people at the same time, how might that impact infection control?
Well, it could expose some risk, and I'll ask the person at the next feeder table beside me if they've had any experience with infections. Mm. She's only got three people, whereas I got four. So I, you know.
Oh, so you've got four different people you're helping eat. So you're at a table now. In that table, you're positioned opposite the person, eh?
Yep, yep.
All right. Those four people. Yep. Yeah.
Convenient little seat that I swivel on.
Yeah, yeah. Now, where did that table come from? I'm really curious.
Well, they make them. You could buy them still, can't you? I mean, this one looks like it was made.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet so. So I tell you what, I'm going to ask you for a big favor. Go sit on the other side of the table here while we have a few seconds. And I'm going to have you put binoculars on, and or maybe just monoculars, because most of your folks need more. And I'm going to do the thing that I just watched you do, not to be mean, but I want you to be on the other side of the table. And I have a favor to ask of you. Try it, and let's see how it goes.
Do you think most people would do that, Tipa, or are we so sort of ingrained in our tasks, our chores, that we can't see beyond that? Like, how do we move this ball forward again? Because it bounced out of bounds. Now we got to get it back into play.
Yeah. So it's often I'll start with leadership and I'll say, wow. I start with a wow. Wow. I noticed something in the dining room. I was sort of surprised. I want to show you something. And we go in with leaders. I'll start with leaders because they asked me to come in. You know, so people ask me in because they want to get praised for the work they're doing. And I've got to be careful because this is a balancing act of acknowledging what they're doing well, but also helping them see what might be missing. And the only way to do that is to get people to look at things, get people to listen and talk, and get people to then be willing to do something different. And so I get them to come to the dining room with me as a start. I say, wow, so you've got these tables. Tell me about this. How did this get started here? Have you always had these tables in this position? And that's how it starts. You know, and it's like, I've got to find out the story behind this, because if I don't know how they got to this place, it's going to be hard for me to figure out how to move away. Well, the staff asked for it because they were having so many people who get fed that they needed these. Oh, so your acuity weight went up. Yeah. So tell me about that. You have a lot more folks that need a lot of help to eat. And you're describing them as total assist. Is that true? They can't do anything for themselves, or they can do some, but it takes staff supervision. What exactly?
So again, Tipa, you know, we consult an expert because we want simple answers. I want you to tell me how to fix this. And there's one key thing that we both just touched on a moment ago. That is, during COVID, families weren't there. I don't think anybody realized what a contribution families were making in caring for their loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, families can make a huge difference in the area. Particularly, it's interesting how we view helping someone eat as something that families can do, but helping them go to the bathroom requires, you know, a care provider to do that. But somehow helping someone eat if they don't have choking or swallowing problems is considered something families can do, or volunteers can sometimes do even. And I wish we were smarter about that. That's a whole nother, boy, do we need to make some progress. But I think what happened during COVID is there were long lines of waiting individuals to get support. And even when we did support, we did it in such a way as there's evidence people lost a significant amount of weight and muscle, and they lost abilities and they lost language because it was so task focused. Get it done, get in, get out, get done, get in, get out, get done. If somebody refused, document the refusal and move on, because there was such a emphasis on get it done, get in, get out, get disrobed, put your new stuff on, go to the next. We moved into a task assembly line phenomena. And I think we have a lot of work to come out of that. We haven't really dealt with the trauma of what that did to people on both sides of the table.
Tipa, let's put out an appeal. We promote the website and everything else like that, but let's put out an appeal that if you are seeing this, if you're experiencing this, reach out, get some ideas on what can be done, because we're talking people. This isn't farm animals.
This is big. This is a big step back in the world of dementia. And it's also a high risk situation for people to not like what we're doing when we take over and try to do things to people rather than with people and with their permission. We are really risking more and more what in Canada you call responsive behaviors, which is a whole nother story. It's a reaction to being forced to do something you don't like, or being told to do or helped to do. And what we know is if we don't pause, we got to push the pause button and we've got to go, whoa, hang on here. Let's talk for a minute. And that I switch places with people and I ask people to switch places because I think once you're on that other in that other position, it's really hard to go back to say, oh, no, it's okay. And it's like, how's it feeling? Does it feel okay? No. All right. Well, then let's figure it out, guys. I mean, this getting people to reach out and say something, you know, sort of like at the airport where they have those signs up that say, if you see something, say something. I think if you see something, hear something, do something. And the do something is reach out and let's get connected. Because if nobody
knows, we do. If people are looking for help, they can go to your website. They can find somebody to talk to. We're appealing to families to be observers and to pitch in. We're appealing to institutions to step up your game.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like we are out hunting people down. I mean, we're working to help build back what has been lost. And that means addressing the trauma that we've been through and addressing the losses that we have. We're not asking for unreasonable things, but we do have to relearn how to be care supports and care providers in a way that doesn't make things worse for both of us.
Deepa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
You've been listening to the Dementia Care Partners podcast brought to you by Positive Approach to Care. For more dementia care information and training, go to teepasnow.com.
If you're signed into your Spotify account, we'd love to get your feedback. How? Click into the episode details and look over the episode question and poll. Send us your comments and vote so we can answer your questions and better tailor this content to your needs. We look forward to hearing from you.